In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've arrived at the day where we get to hear probably the most famous parable that was ever uttered, that of the prodigal son. And it's a very long gospel reading, one of the longest that we have during regular Sundays during the year, but also a very important reading in so many ways. In fact, you can really approach this particular parable in 100 different ways. So deep is the meaning that we find in all aspects of it, in all of the basically three parts of the story. One, from the son who rather boldly asks to have all of his inheritance right then and there. But inheritances are not given until the parent is dead. So the son is basically saying to his father, "You're dead to me. Give me the money. Give me the money now. I'm leaving you. I'm going off. I'm going to do whatever I want to do." Then, of course, he does that because the father was not going to deny his son of anything. And so off he goes and spends his money recklessly, as we hear in the parable. And one of the things that's so most important about that part two of this parable is really one line there. When it says, when he's wasted all of his money, he's got nothing else, and he's beginning to starve, and it says, "And no one gave him anything." No one gave him anything. And that, I think, is a very important part of this parable because it speaks to us of when we invest ourselves into things other than God, hoping that somehow we're going to get great satisfaction from it, that we're going to get a great return on that investment. But the world doesn't do that. The world does not think that way. The world thrives on it being given something, not in giving back. And so when it says that no one would give him anything, that is a very good example of how we come away from all the desires and things that we have that separate us from God, and we get nothing back from it at all. We're hoping to. I mean, who among us have not had certain desires and inclinations about wanting to do this, that, or the other, or go someplace, or acquire something? And it builds up over the years, and maybe there's a little bit of envy going on because you've seen somebody else with something and you think, "Gee, I'd love to have that. That would be great. Why is that person's life so much better than mine?" All of these thoughts, and I know they go through your heads, so they go through mine. It goes through all of us. And yet, we know that if we did invest in that, if we pursued something, And that was all that really mattered, if we went after this for absolutely no reason except for self-satisfaction, we're not going to get a return on that. It's not going to be something that we could take from the world into ourselves and keep for a long period of time. It just doesn't happen. It never, ever works. And the funny thing about it, although it's, I guess, really not so funny, but the idea that somehow we actually go through something like that and we acquire something or put all our effort into something and it turns out to be completely different than the way we were expecting, and so you think we would learn our lesson, right? But no. What do? The next thing comes up and then off we go, pursuing it, hoping for the same sort of return that's just never going to happen. Because that is an icon of life apart from God. It's spitting image of life lived apart from God, apart from wanting to do His will, apart from wanting to be united to Him. Because that's the only true meaning that we find in life, even though we're very stubborn about it, and we don't seem to get the message very clearly. Because the prodigal here today, who is brought to absolute disillusion, I mean, he's completely without everything, and he's so hungry that
You know, he's wanting the food that's given to the animals, even starving. But he comes to his senses. And so often we don't. We may think we do. We may think we learn lessons, but we don't really turn. We waddle in the mud. We get out. We think, that was horrible. Let me take a bath. And we jump right in it on the other side of the road. That is what human nature, human fallen nature, does to us. That's what leads us down the road to destruction, absolute destruction. But the prodigal son today, as it says again in that wonderful sentence in the gospel, he came to his senses. Okay, what does that indicate to us? That he was senseless before. That he was living in life that really didn't exist. And when you're doing that, then you are opening yourselves to all sorts of bad influences, to evil influences, because you are not in the senses that God gave you. But he came to his senses, and he turned and went back and realized that before he had even left, he had everything that he could possibly want. But sometimes having everything leads us not to satiation, but instead to want even more. I've got this. Oh, I've wanted this for so long. I've got it now, but what about that? What if I look over here? Ooh, I haven't tasted of that fruit yet, have I? Said Eve in the garden, perhaps. So why don't I give it a taste? But in this case, the prodigal does turn around. He does realize that his whole life has been for naught, that he's wasted everything. And he turns and he comes back and says, Father, you know, forgive me. I've sinned before heaven and before you. And as St. Gregory Palamas says, when he says, I've sinned before heaven, he means I have sinned before all the saints in heaven that are there waiting for me, praying for me. And the Father, again, this is such a marvelous gospel. While the Son was yet far off, a long way away, who is that out there? Sees him and comes running towards him. Because the love of the Father, the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ is so, it's just impenetrably great. It's so great that when he sees even an inkling of change in us coming back to him, he runs out to greet us. He doesn't wait. He doesn't say, well, you know, do your 50 prostrations first and then maybe I'll consider it. No, nothing like that. He accepts us immediately when he detects that change of heart, that change of mind, that metanoia within us as we turn and not only turn from the sin, but renounce it completely and run towards him. And the rewards are great, as they were for the son that we hear about today. Kill the fatted calf. The fatted calf is available to all of us at all times if we but turn towards him. And we must not be jealous either, like the elder brother, the one who was there, the one that sort of reminds me of the publican from last, or the Pharisee from last week, who was doing all the right things, wasn't he? He was there and he was, you know, living the life he thought he should be living, you know, fulfilling all the things of the law, feeling kind of righteous within himself. Well, the son today is the same way. The older son is thinking, well, wait a minute. You're doing all this for him. He blew all your money. I mean, look at this. He blows it all. He comes back and gives me a, I'm sorry, and you're taking him back? I mean, come on. That doesn't seem right, does it? But the older son was living according to the law of the Pharisee. He was there. He was doing all of the right things. He expected the reward when his heart was hard. And so the father tells him, look, you're here with me. Everything I've got is yours. Soften your heart. Be grateful. Be loving. Be understanding, because your brother, my son, was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive. As we ourselves now approach what the fathers of the church call the great season of repentance, just a couple of weeks away now, we should take this to heart, because now is the time to turn. Now is the time to turn away from all the things that have been separating us, all the things that are getting in the way of our relationship with God, whether it's worldly goods of some kind or certain unfulfilled desires or family conflicts or friends, conflicts with friends or certain enemies that are perceived and bothering you. Now is the time to drop all of it, to let it go, and to turn back to God, who is the only answer for all of these problems anyway. Because it's only through Him that you'll find the solutions to the conflicts and the desires and the envy and whatever else it happens to be. The church today puts that before us. And that is what we must pursue. We are Orthodox Christians. We've been giving everything. We've got the fatted calf. We've got it here. So we just have to pursue the Lord with all our heart, strength, mind, and soul, and not look back. Because He's going to be there. He's going to be there. Even if we falter, He's going to be there. But it's important that we turn and we make that decision in our hearts today to embrace Him first and foremost, and then let everything else around us fall under the blanket of the grace that He provides us. Amen.